Well, as we come around this Building the Generation season, we can find ourselves located in four different locations. Number one, there are those who will calculate. They're planning, they're thinking what maybe God is calling them to give towards building the generations. There are those who are cautious. And whenever it comes to investing finance into church life, well, they kind of take a bit more of a conservative approach. There are those who like to perhaps contribute. Their heart is, well, I do love our church and I'll make a little contribution and hopefully that's a blessing, which is fantastic. Last but not least, there are those who commit themselves supernaturally in faith. Our goal as believers to become those kinds of people where we move away from just using a calculator, which of course is wisdom, and it's good at times. It's moving away from having a spirit of caution or those who just like to make a little contribution. We want to be a people of faith who are committed to what Jesus said, and that is, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So how do we become committed people of faith? How do we allow God to expand our faith so that we become the kind of people who step out of the boat? How do we grow in our faith? It requires us to have a paradigm shift. We need to go to the Word of God. We need to draw from the Word of God, and we need to allow God's Word to expand us and change us, empower us, and release us to be a people of faith. This morning, to help us grow as people of faith, I need to contrast the scripture for you. So I'm asking you to come on a journey with me. Come on, are we alive this morning? I know the temperature's lukewarm in here and it's kind of like, ooh, here we go. But I'm asking you to come on a journey of faith with me this morning. I'm asking us to expand in our faith today, not because of the things that I have said, but because of what the Word of God teaches us this morning. So let's go on a paradigm shift today. Let's allow God to stir our hearts. Let's become a people of faith. Have a look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. We're going to contrast scripture to go on this journey together so that we can be a people who step out of the boat. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Are you born of God? Amen. Well, the Bible says that you have overcome the world. Somebody say, "I am an overcomer." There you go. Oh, that was a half-hearted effort. Say it again. I am an overcomer. You are an overcomer. Now, the scripture is basically telling us that you have victory. If you believe it, say amen. That the battle has already been won. It is complete in Jesus. And in fact, that word overcomer is the Greek word nikeo, where Nike got their word from. So every time you see a pair of Nikes, it's actually saying, overcomer. There you go. The word overcome means to prevail. That's what the Bible says about you this morning. The Bible says that you are somebody who prevails. The Bible says that you are someone who is victorious. But we've got a problem. And the problem is that if that is my position, then why does the Bible in Revelations chapter 2, verse 7, tell me that I need to overcome? Do you see the contrast? Why am I victorious? Come on, church. Why am I somebody where Jesus says it is finished, but in Revelations it's telling me that I need to overcome? Are you with me this morning? Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, to him who overcomes. Verse 11, he who overcomes. 17, to him who overcomes. 26, and he who overcomes. Chapter 3, verse 5, he who overcomes. And of course, verse 12, he who overcomes. Now, this is the same author. He's either confused and he's changed his mind, or there's something in God that we need to grasp this morning. Seven overcomes in total, or perhaps I should say seven churches that the book of Revelation was written to. Jesus spoke to seven, of course, being the number of completion. This is a message for all churches, for all time. There are secondary matters. There are primary matters. This is a primary matter for all churches, for all time. On the one hand, I have overcome. Amen. But on the other hand, I need to overcome. So, John, you're telling me that I have overcome, but later on in Revelation, you're telling me that I need to overcome. What is going on here? Well, it's telling us this. Stay with me this morning. It's positioning us somewhere in a place called faith. This is what it's doing. John is trying to teach you, number one, about your legal status versus your experiential reality. Now, your legal status is your relative position or standing. In other words, you are an overcomer. The victory has already been won. Somebody say, amen. Christ has made every believer an overcomer legally. But watch this. Our legal status needs to become our experiential reality. So it's this journey of, I am blessed. Amen. I am an overcomer. I am victorious in Jesus. Becoming an experiential reality. And the journey in between your legal status and your experiential reality is a journey called faith. So it's like this. My friend in Adelaide, he was a Qantas Platinum frequent flyer. He used to work in the mines, so all week, every week, he was on a Qantas plane. And Qantas would send him letters, but he never bothered reading the letter. And the letter gave him access to the premium lounge. He got specialized seating on the aircraft because he was a Qantas Platinum flyer. But his legal status was not his experiential reality, even though it belonged to him. Every time Qantas sent him a letter, in the bin. You see, there are things that belong to us, and we've got to create this link between your state and your standing, between your position and your practice, between what's legal and what is your literal experience. It is a journey called faith. Amen? Come on, amen, church. So it's like this course that I went to do. It was a 3-year course, and I went and saw the professor, and I said to him, I don't need to do 3 years, I only need to do year 2 and 3. Well, he got upset at me. And he came back and he said, if you're going to do this, you need to start at year 1. I said, no. If I'm going to do the course, I'm starting as someone doing a university degree, say amen. I'm starting at year 2, I'll do year 3, dishes are done. He came back and he said, well, you can't. If you're going to enroll here, this is how it works. I said, no, let me tell you how it's going to work. This is where I'm starting. Someone say amen. Some of you think he's very arrogant, this guy. I said, I'm starting in year 2. Now, I'm telling you a fictitious story. And the reason why I'm telling you that fictitious story is because being an overcomer, chapter 2, chapter 3, you cannot move forward in the purposes of God unless you start at 1. Now, you might be good and you might be better than others, but you've got to start at 1 because 1 becomes the foundation. It becomes the the platform. It becomes the building blocks in order for you to move to 2 and 3, legal status versus your experiential reality. So what is this link that I'm talking about? How do you become somebody who, through building the generations, we want to give. God says, you're blessed, you're an overcomer, you are victorious. How does that translate into my experiential reality? It is the faith journey. Now, does faith then, come on church, does faith actually become the objective? Is it that between here and my experiential reality, come on, say amen. Is faith the objective? Is it that I need to research more about faith? And I need to read more about faith? Because we all want our legal status to be our, come on church, our experiential, hey, come on, experiential reality. What's the key? Well, from here to there, how many of you know there's a couple of potholes along the way? Oh, I didn't see that one coming. How many of you know there's a roundabout? Which way do I go, Lord? Oh, I just got dizzy then. Let me have a drink. I'm 43. I shouldn't be doing that stuff. How many of you know there's a couple of mountains to climb? And someone put a valley in the way. I didn't ask for a valley. I asked for a smooth path. So then does faith, come on church, does faith, is that the thing that I need to focus on? Because yes, he's expanding my faith. He's growing me. He's making me bigger. He's making me better. He's causing me to speak to things, take authority over things. And how many of you know, over time, some of these giants just seem to get bigger and larger. First giant I dealt with was this high. Now he's 29 foot tall. And we're on this journey, but I've got to... Now, there is a link between my story before about 1, 2, and 3. It's all going to make sense to you, church. I've got to come back to 1. Okay. Revelation chapter 2 asks you to be an overcomer. Come on, it asks you to tackle things. But grace, last week, is my legal status. It's my right. You are an Australian citizen, the majority. No one can tell you that you're not. You are, trust me. Amen. It's your right, it's your legal status. But now it needs to become my experiential reality. I can't overcome, I can't deal with, come on, I'm speaking in the Holy Spirit to someone this morning. I can't deal with these things if I just make faith the objective. There's a chandelier in the room this morning. There's someone who's standing center stage. There's someone who stands above everybody else. And at the mention of his name, we bow our knee. His name is, in fact, Jesus. Faith is not my goal in being an overcomer. I got to go back to chapter 1 so that I can be a chapter 2 and 3 overcomer, and it becomes my experiential reality. So God's challenging you now to give. He's asking you to be generous. You are blessed. You are an overcomer. You are rich because of Jesus. Now, I want your legal status, amen, to be your experiential reality. And the Bible gives us a key. It's found in Revelation chapter. We're going back to 1. Come on, someone. The Bible helps us in this journey of being a people of faith. And it helps us by understanding this. The book of Revelation is, in fact, yes, about end times. But you know what it's ultimately about? It's actually about the revelation of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 verse 1 starts off by saying, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, John wants us to see what this amazing Jesus is like. Have a look at this. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. This is not Jesus in a manger. Although I like Jesus in a manger, this is Jesus on fire. It says, I am the Alpha. Amen. I am the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who was or who is and who was and who is to come. He's the Almighty. Verse 13, John is seeing the awesomeness of our Jesus. This is our journey from my legal status to my experiential reality. I've got to see Jesus. Faith comes when I see Jesus in his awesomeness. Amen? Come on. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstand. Oh, look at this Jesus. I like this Jesus. Amen. One like the Son of Man, clothed with the garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. Kind of cool Switzerland Jesus there. Verse 14. His head and hair were white like wool. All the grey-headed people said, amen, as white as snow. You look like Jesus today. Here we go. His eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as refined in a furnace. And his voice, come on, as the sound of many waters, like the oceans rushing. When Jesus speaks, he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a two-edged sword, or sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun, shining in its strength. Look at what happened to John. I'm going to pretend I'm dead. And when he saw him, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is the awesomeness of our Jesus. So he tells you then in chapter 2, you can overcome, because I saw something in chapter 1 that has boosted my faith. Amen. Come on, amen. Jesus on fire. When he spoke, his voice was like the sound of many waters. Better than T.D. Jakes. This one thundered. It roared. Seven stars in his right hand. Think about that. Sword coming out of his mouth. Face like the brightness of the sun. This is Jesus in charge. This is Jesus controlling the agenda. This is Jesus knocking you off your feet. And he's saying, I want you to connect with the risen and exalted Christ. So let me explain it like this. John sees Jesus in his awesomeness. He knows by grace you have been saved. This is your legal position. In it, the more I see Jesus, the more I overcome. Because I've seen how great he is, and it becomes my experiential reality. Amen. Come on. Amen. Now, the first new car I ever got was a Hyundai XL. I was a youth pastor. A white one. I had this car for about 2 weeks. I was driving down South Street in Perth one night. I'd been at some youth thing. It was about 11 o'clock at night. All of a sudden, bang, bang, bang in the engine, pulled over the side of the road, and just oil was just pouring out of the engine. How many of you know I was upset? New car, youth pastor's salary, this means a lot. Well, I knew, though, that I had a legal right. I was stalled, but I had a legal right, and that is, I called up the Hyundai hotline number. Hello, hi, this is Brad. Bought a car, this is what has happened. "Oh, Mr. Bonham, we are so sorry. We will send someone straight away to fix it, to sort it out for you. This big truck came bigger than my problem and fixed it because it was my legal right." You will find it difficult to sow into building the generations and to be a person of faith if all you see it as a contribution. But if you see Jesus in his awesomeness, that this is my legal right to be blessed. This is my, even though I hit a pothole and a roundabout along the way, there's someone bigger who's looking after me. That's why Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come." Here we go. Come on. We got to come boldly. Are you ready to be bold in your finances? Because we've seen Jesus. Come on, church. Are you ready to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace? What is grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen? Undeserved, unmerited, undeserved favor simply because he loves you. Now, you can try and take care of it all yourself. You can calculate, and I'm encouraging you to use wisdom. And you can speak to some of our board who will be there at the Nehemiah stand afterwards. But I want to challenge you. Have you created some latitude or some breathing room for a miracle? Have you created some room where only God can bring the breakthrough? Have you created some margin for the supernatural, church? Have we created margin for a miracle from heaven? Because you can get the calculator out like Philip. Where are we going to get enough bread to feed these people? He went down the road to the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. In the end, he came back and he said, "It is impossible." But there was a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And what did they do? They placed it in the hands of Jesus. The Jesus I saw in Revelation and read about, he's got 7 stars in his hand. When he speaks, it's like the roar of rushing water. He can move circumstances. Now watch what's happening. It doesn't become about my faith and how good I did in getting through the roundabout and the pothole. I avoided it. I saw Jesus. I saw his awesomeness. Guess who the glory goes to? Come on, church. This is sound teaching today. All goes to him. And guess who's blessed in the end? You. Because he loves you. And to come boldly to the throne of grace. I think in Sydney it's called the NRMA, isn't it? When you break down, I think Perth's RAA or everywhere is different. RAC, it just goes crazy all over Australia. Come on, you got the triple G. God the Father, God the Son. This is a homie God. I'm telling you right now, I'm about to bust a rhyme. I'm feeling so good. Triple G. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. Sam Lenzo, this guy's fit. Right, we did this running thing at Sylvania Waters. He just left us behind. Poor Pastor Brad. I'm having a heart attack. He just keeps going. He's fast. He made it happen. He ran this race and did incredibly well. Sam proved this week in, week out. He's good. But if you came to me and you said, and he was lapping us. He was doing incredibly well. Shane Martin's trying to keep up. Jared went and sat in the stands. Hannah Shan complained of a hip thing of some sort. Yeah, that's it. Elise Paris, she was good. But Sam was neck level. He's proved that he's good. But if there was a race, next Thursday night we used to do this thing, and we probably should do a little bit more. Excuse me, I'm just buttoning up my jacket right now because I'm feeling very self-conscious for an insecure person. Now, if you, based on what had happened, you know how well he's going to do. Now stop, watch me. Jesus carried the weight of the world when he hung upon the cross. Now just stop and think about that for a moment. Every sin, every sickness, every disease, he took it upon himself. Don't you think he can carry your problem? Don't you think he can carry you through what you're going through financially, or you can handle it all yourself? Amen? Come on, we need a paradigm shift. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I love this scripture. Let's have a look up on the screen. But without faith, amen. Now we've got to pause here for a moment so that we get a good, healthy, sound interpretation of faith. Faith is simply trust in the character of God. Come on, church. Faith is trust in the character of God. Now watch how Satan works. He comes to Eve. What does he say to her? Has God indeed said? Watch what he's doing. He's trying to get Eve to doubt the character of God. Come on. Doubt the character. Did God really say? I don't know if he's really telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now let's read the scripture again. But without that confident trust in the character of God, it is impossible to please him. Hey church, come on now. Don't be sleeping on me. It's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he's a good, good father. Come on. You must believe he's an amazing God. You must believe this is Jesus on fire, 7 stars in his hand. You got to believe it. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's go to the message paraphrase. It's impossible to please God apart from faith, confidence in the character of God. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe that must believe both that he exists. Oh, here we go now. Thank you, Eugene Peterson. And that he cares enough. The character of God. Faith. Come on, faith this morning. He cares. That's why we can sow into building the generations with faith. Because my legal status, everything in Christianity, it's my legal status, but it requires faith for it to be my experiential reality. I look at the character of Jesus. Philip comes and he says, Jesus, show us the Father, and then we'll believe that everything you are saying is true. Musos and singers, you can come. Oh, Jesus, like, well, that's a great question. But don't you get it? He who has seen me has seen the Father. What was Jesus like? He was kind. Come on. He was compassionate. He was caring. He was a restorer. When everyone else said, throw the stone, Jesus said, hey, come on. Let him who is without sin amongst you cast the first stone. What was Jesus like? He was compassionate, full of love. Changed people's lives for eternity. I'm trying to stir your faith this morning, church. I'm trying to get you to lift your expectation and to declare here at Shy Live this morning that Jesus is trustworthy. He's trustworthy. Whether you're about to engage in a faith promise for the next 12 months for the first time, or you're about to complete a faith promise, or you're about to sow generously into the kingdom of God, He's trustworthy. And my legal status becomes my experiential reality. Amen. Can I finish with a story? We planted a church in Perth. Pastor Jared and Sarah joined Alison and I, and Alison's mum and dad. It was tough going. And we were giving. We gave. Alison sold a business, an online business that she used to run just to get us through. We sewed. Kind of comes Christmas time. We get young kids. You want to buy them presents. You want to do something nice. We were tight. Well, I'm reading the book of Philippians one day. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning. All things were made through Him. That's John chapter 1, by the way. I'm just kind of connecting the two. I'm feeding on Jesus Himself. Amen. Out of the Word, the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that comes out of the mouth of God. My legal status is I'm the preacher. I'm blessed. He's an overcomer. You have overcome. In fact, church, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. But how does that become my experiential reality? Reading the Word, studying the Word, drilling for oil. Amen. And one little phrase leaps out of the book of Philippians. And the scripture says, Paul says, I am full. Having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet aroma, well-pleasing unto God. But just that bit, I am full. I had a rhema, church. It wasn't just logos. This was rhema. And I had to declare my legal status. I am full, I am full, I am full. The more I declared it, guess what happened? I'm moving into the experiential reality. I am full, I am full, I am full. Oh, I went this way one day because the Nando's was bad, but then I kept going. I am full, I am full, I am full. I knew something was about to happen, but I didn't know how. Margin for a miracle. One day, go to the letterbox, envelope. Classic 80s Pentecostal story. The letter, it happens, I'm telling you. Only once, but it did happen. Go to the letterbox. Letter from Charisse Burton. Charisse Burton used to be in our life group many moons ago when I was a youth pastor. And the letter goes, Dear Brad and Alison, you were my life group leader once. I just want to thank you for being a great life group leader. All the life group leaders said, Amen. Come on, declare it in faith. I just want to take this opportunity to thank you. Thank you for being a kind life group leader and for looking after me. And I just felt in God to write you a check. Now, I read the letter first, church. And then the check. Because I know what some of you would do first. Just kidding. There was a check. For thousands of dollars to bless my family at Christmas. And guess what we did? We went up to Broome, up north of Western Australia. And there we were in Broome. And I went to the mango farms. Hallelujah. It was mango season. And I thought this is going to be the best holiday ever. But my brain didn't compute that in mangoes is a thing called fiber. You eat too many of those things, you're in trouble. So I had to exercise the spirit of self-control. I am full. Will you take up the faith challenge? Will you see Jesus in His awesomeness? 7 stars in his right hand, able to speak, move, shift things. Ever tried stopping an ocean? Ever tried stopping a tsunami? That's what happens in the mouth of Jesus when he speaks. And my legal status needs to become my experiential. So, church, building the generations, come on. Yes, it's about debt reduction. It's actually about your faith. It's actually about how you choose to see Jesus. And God, in his wisdom, he orchestrates things so that we can see him in all of his glory. And we can say, truly, he is an amazing God. And we worship him. Amen. Come on. Let's peel the onion. Let's get the revelation. It's all about, Stacey, it's all about Jesus. Come on, let's sing his name this morning. Why don't we stand up on our feet?